you have your Bible this evening, if you'll be turning with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's where we'll begin our study. Good to have you out this evening where we can study the divine revelation together. We can make application to our life, and as we go about the work week, we can think about this first day of the week where we worship the Lord God of heaven. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested, and if you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, begin reading with me at verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent for the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. If you take your Bible this evening, I would like for you to underscore the phrase, we persuade men. You know, when you find the writing here from the Apostle Paul, that he is writing to the members of God's family in the city of Corinth, you can see a great sense of comfort in the very few verses that we read in chapter 5. Notice that he talks about that here we have a building that's not made with hands of men, and he's talking about the resurrected body. That right now man is in a tent, that he is in a temporary place, but that one day we will go to a place that is a building not made with hands, and that was when we will put on the immortal body. Then, too, here we find a great example that Paul left us in the statement, we persuade men. In the life of this man, you will find that he spent much of his time trying to persuade men to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that they could have this hope of comfort, that they too could put on a body of immortality, that they could go to heaven when they die, and that they would be present with the Lord. Yet I believe that a further study of that phrase, we persuade men, will help us learn some great teaching from the Lord. The first thing I want us to do is look at that word persuade. And when you pay attention to that word, you'll find that it means to convince one or to induce one to believe by contending or arguing a point. Now here we find Paul argued to convince people, to induce them to believe certain things. Now the question we want to ask is, what did Paul use to argue or persuade people with? Just exactly what did Paul use when he went about persuading people? And one, I want you to understand, someone could use air or a lie or speak something to convince one to believe certain things, but you'll find that's not Paul, that Paul used only the truth of God to convince or persuade people. Open your Bible to the book of Acts and the 13th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts at the 13th chapter, take note with me, if you will, in the writing of the book of Acts in the 13th chapter, that here is Paul, and notice verse 43. In verse 43, now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, now watch it, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. If you have your Bible, underscore persuaded them. Now what did Paul use? Paul used the teaching, the truth about the grace of God to convince them to follow God. He preached the truth to those individuals. He persuaded many to continue in the grace of God. Then if you take your Bible in the book of Acts and the 19th chapter, notice if you will in verse 26. In verse 26 you remember Demetrius the silversmith is angry because Paul has come in and said there's only one true and living God. And he said this Diana that you worship is not it. But the true and living God is Jehovah God. And notice what Demetrius said about Paul in verse 26. He said, moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. What did Paul preach? Paul said, there's only one God. There's the true and living God. These things that Demetrius and the silversmith make and you bow down to, they're not the true God. And Demetrius said he's persuaded people and turned people away from worshiping the very objects we make. But then if you take your Bible, turn with me if you will to the book of Acts in the 26th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts in the 26th chapter, you remember that Paul is standing at this time before Festus and Agrippa. And you remember that Paul looked right at Agrippa and said in verse 27, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. And then notice what Agrippa said. You almost persuade me to become a Christian. Underscore again that word persuade. He said, your arguments, your defense, your contending for the truth has almost persuaded me. It's almost turned me. It's almost made me believe what you're teaching. So I want you to understand, here we find Paul preaching, and Paul is persuading people. And this should be proof to all that only one thing is needed to persuade men, and that is the knowledge of the truth and the use of it. Now notice what others used to persuade that Paul did not use. The Catholics insist that one be a Catholic and do so in place with physical force. Have you ever thought years ago they physically would force you to be a Catholic? Now that's changed some. They don't do that as they one time did. But I'll tell you, my friend, I want you to understand that many times people have almost forced people to join something. I read the other day where there were some young men in Iraq, just teenagers, who were beheaded because they would not convert to Islam. They were not going to be persuaded, even though someone put the knife to their neck. They were going to hold on to what faith they had. Now, I do not know their religious belief, but I do know one thing. They did not yield. But that brings up something else. Sectarians persuade people to follow them by deceiving them. They want to put down the Bible and refuse to follow it. And they mock the Bible and scoff the Bible. And young men and young ladies in high school and college, they're going to belittle the Bible, the Word of God. They're going to say it's an antiquated, outdated book. And that we live in a modern time. And that we're more sophisticated. We don't need to go back to something that's old. And I'll tell you something, my friend. All that is sectarian teaching. All that is secularism and humanism and postmodernism and every ism that should be a wasm. Because they're all wrong. Open your Bible for just a moment and look in the book of Acts in the 24th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts in the 24th chapter, notice what the divine word says in verse 14. In verse 14, notice what the people, Paul, as he is talking, says, I confess to you that according to the way which they call a sect. You know people do that to the church tonight. What do they say? Well, that's a sect. But he said, I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. He said, I believe all things written in the law. But then if you take your Bible, turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. And notice in Galatians chapter 1, Paul understood a very important concept. That we are to persuade men and not to try to persuade God. Look at what he said in verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Now notice that is our second thing. We seem one is to persuade, and they do so by preaching the truth and using the Scripture, but the one to be persuaded is men. Some think that we need to try to change God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. But the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5, we persuade men. Now, why did Paul try to persuade men and not God? You know the answer to that? What more could God do? God has a plan. Christ has executed it. The Holy Spirit has guided men into writing the truth to save him. What else could you persuade God to do for you? In 2 Peter 3:9, what was it Peter said? That God's not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's up to man, not to God. If I left up to God, then why try to persuade men? Paul knew and preached God's will that men needed to be persuaded to come to the will of God. All true gospel preachers persuade men. But that brings up something else. What do they persuade men of? Just what do men need to be persuaded? Now, we know that Paul persuaded men. He preached. Now, the question is, what did he persuade them to do or believe? Well, first of all, notice he persuaded them to believe in God. During the days of Paul, there were some that believed, like as we already said, in other gods. Look in the book of Acts in the 19th chapter again. In Acts 19, remember that the Bible here is bringing out that they believed in other gods. And notice that is what caused the problem with Demetrius. They were making their money off of building these little shrines or these little idols. And notice, Paul persuades them not to believe in that, but to believe in the one God, the true and living God. Paul persuaded them in Acts 17 and 19. Look, if you will, when he goes to Athens. When Paul is in the city of Athens, where they are sitting there talking about every new thing, Paul comes in and wants them to understand who the true and living God is. In Acts chapter 17, look, if you will, at verse 19. It says that when he took and brought him into the Areopagus, saying, men, we know what this new doctrine is of what you speak, for you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to hear or tell some new thing. So what does Paul do when he goes into Mars Hill? He begins to tell them about the true and living God. He tells them about the God and of Christ who doesn't need anything from man, but has provided everything for man. Oh, that's a powerful sermon. When you have time, you just drop down and you read verses 22 down to verse 34. And you read where Paul talked about God who made the world and everything in it. He is Lord of heaven and earth. And then he says, as we brought out this morning, in Him we live and move and have our being. He's the all-powerful God. Paul persuaded people to believe in the true and living God. Now, you know what people do today sometimes? They try to persuade you to believe in the God you want to believe in and not the God of the Bible. If you want to practice some sin, they'll say God will overlook it because God's a God of love. And they say if you want to go out and live in iniquity, you just go right ahead. God will ignore it. And I'll tell you, my friend, we need to persuade men that God is holy and just and that God does not wink at sin. But as is brought out in Acts 17 later, God has called all men to repentance. But then think about something else. He's called men to believe in Christ. At one time, Paul himself didn't believe in Christ. But now he persuades men to believe otherwise by preaching God's will. He persuaded men to believe in Christ, to believe in the virgin birth, to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. In your Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look again at verse 10. In verse 10, he said, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Notice, he is wanting them to know who Christ is. Paul persuaded men to believe in Christ. But I'll tell you a third thing that he persuaded men to believe in, and that's the Holy Spirit. In like manner, Paul persuaded men to believe in the Spirit of God. Open your Bible back to 2 Corinthians 5. Look at verse 5. "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit," now watch it, "as a guarantee." He said the Holy Spirit is there. And the Holy Spirit, he said, is our seal of promise. Paul persuaded men to believe in the promises of God. Nowhere did Paul persuade men to wait for the Holy Spirit to operate separate and apart from the Word. He persuaded men to really believe in the Holy Spirit through the will of God. The Holy Spirit has already revealed the will. We have it right here in the divine revelation. But that brings up something else. Paul persuaded men to obey. Look again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at verse 3. In verse 3, he said, "Indeed, having been clothed, we shall be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened." What is that? He said, we don't want to be in this tent and be lost. Look again in verse 10. In verse 10, he said, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." So look at verse 11, "knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." Because we know the terror of the Lord, what do? We persuade men to put on Christ. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:3 is persuading men to obey. While our spirit dwells in this fleshly house, we must prepare for the spiritual one. We don't want to be found unprepared. And one must be baptized into Christ and be raised up and be prepared. And Paul's persuading people to be prepared, obey God. But I'll tell you something else Paul did. Paul persuades men to believe in the judgment day. Go back again and look at what he said in verse 10. In verse 10, he said, "We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad." You know, my friend, there is going to be a judgment day. And he persuaded them to believe that when Christ would be the judge, not your parents, not the preacher, not the elders, the judge will be Christ. And notice, my friend, he persuaded them to believe that all would be there. Do you recognize tonight, my friend, that in the day of judgment, I will stand before Christ the judge and you will stand before Christ the judge? And we're not going to stand together as the East Side congregation. We're going to stand individually before Christ. And he persuaded them to remember they're going to give an account. But then look at something else. Paul persuades them to be in Christ. Look again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and this time drop down to verse 17. In verse 17, he said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I like that. A new creature in Christ. When one is baptized into Christ, they're raised up. And now they are saved. They have been redeemed. And they have become a new creature in Christ. They're no longer outside salvation. They now are sons of God, as Paul says in Galatians 3:27. And so he persuaded people to be baptized into Christ. But why did Paul persuade people? Why go to all this trouble to persuade people? Look again at what he said in verse 11. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." You know, my friend, that's something few people know. But if God drove Adam and Eve out of the garden because of sin, and God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and God cast out the angels, as Jude said, who did not keep their proper habitation, then, my friend, God will judge us if we're not prepared to meet. When we fully realize the terror of the Lord, we will persuade men. In Romans 11:22, what he said? He said, consider therefore the goodness and the severity of God. Now is the time to obey and be persuaded tonight that Christ is coming again and we will all stand before Him in the judgment. My question is, what would it take to persuade you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, our prayer is you've been persuaded by the Word of God and that you'll be baptized tonight. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite you.